Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians right along the Southern California coast. Together, we seek to grow in our individual spirituality and in connected community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. For more information, visit our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Today's scripture reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 27. Hear the word of God for us today. Christ is just like the human body. A body is a unit and has many parts, and all the parts of the body are one body, even though there are many. We were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jew or Greek, or slave or free, and we all were given one Spirit to drink. Certainly the body isn't one part, but many. If the foot says, "I'm not part of the body because I'm not a hand," does that mean it's not part of the body? If the ear says, "I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye," does that mean it's not part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, what would happen to the hearing? And if the whole body were an ear, what would happen to the sense of smell? But as it is, God has placed each one of the parts in the body just like he wanted. If all were one and the same body part, what would happen to the body? But as it is, there are many parts but one body. So the eye can't say to the hand, "I don't need you," or in turn the head can't say to the feet, "I don't need you." Instead, the parts of the body that people think are the weakest are the most necessary. The parts of the body that we think are less honorable are the ones we honor the most. The private parts of our body that aren't presentable are the ones that are given the most dignity. The parts of our body that are presentable don't need this, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the part with less honor, so that there won't be division in the body, and so the parts might have mutual concern for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. If one part gets the glory, all the parts celebrate with it. You are the body of Christ and parts of each other. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
In one of the most diverse regions of our denomination, we embrace the richness of our varied backgrounds and perspectives because doing so helps us to grow and learn from one another's uniqueness. Together, we build bridges of understanding and celebrate our beautiful and varied heritage. At La Jolla United Methodist Church, we are a church family, not because we look and think and act the same way, but because we choose to come together in faith and in love. Join us as we explore the beauty of unity in the United Methodist Church.
I am unapologetically United Methodist. And partly, it's my genetics. I've told you before that my grandfather was a Methodist minister. Now, you notice I didn't say United. He was a Methodist minister pre-1968, when the Methodist Episcopal Church and the Evangelical United Brethren Church joined together. My grandfather was a Methodist minister in Missouri. He said it like that. And his brother, Elroy, was also a Methodist minister and later a United Methodist minister. He's now retired, living south of Kansas City on the Missouri side. I am genetically Methodist. As I was growing up, my mom, a PK, we'll come back to acronyms, a PK, made sure that for the most part, we always went to United Methodist churches. And I found my faith at Santa Clarita United Methodist Church, up north of Los Angeles. And then I wrestled with my faith in times of loss and found my faith again at a United Methodist camp, Colby Ranch. And it was there that I experienced my call to ministry, to go to seminary, to endure a rigid ordination process, is that a fair way to say that, in the United Methodist Church. And I in 2012 was commissioned as a provisional elder in the United Methodist Church, specifically in the California Pacific Annual Conference of the United Methodist Church, and in 2016 was ordained as an elder in full connection in the United Methodist Church. I am now an official and legal officer of the California Pacific Annual Conference of the United Methodist Church, serving as the conference secretary, which is a role a lot bigger than those two words. And it's certainly more than taking minutes at a meeting. If you understood what most of those things meant, or if you understand the following acronyms, you might be a Methodist. SPRC, BOT, UMW, CFA, different from GCFA, CFA Council on Finance and Administration at the annual conference level, GCFA General Council on Finance and Administration at the denominational level, UMCOM, United Methodist Communications, UMCOR, the United Methodist Committee on Relief. If you understood most of these things, you might be a Methodist. If you didn't, that's okay. I believe that the United Methodist Church is positioned in a particular way that we can experience vibrant connection in the world, and that we can do good together in the world, and that we can experience vibrant growth and hope in the world because of who we are and how we see ourselves as Christ's church in the world, because of a rich and complex theology that, rather than offering simple placations, invites deeper questions. That rather than bringing thin theology, brings complexity and challenge and hope. I believe that there is a great opportunity for hope as United Methodists. And it is my hope that over the course of the next 6 weeks, we can explore some of these things. I want to confess this, a couple of things to you about this sermon series. One, there is no possible way that we are going to cover every aspect of being United Methodist. There's not a possibility. Maybe if we did a year or two series, maybe. But we're not doing that. We'll stick with about 6 weeks. Otherwise, y'all get tired of that bumper video. But I want to start a little bit about how we aren't the same. Like internally, in the United Methodist Church, in our complexity, we're not the same. And I want to talk about that on a denominational level. And I'll start it on the local church level here at La Jolla United Methodist Church. But there's one more thing I want to share with you before we get into some of those details. Pastor Tara shared with us that the images that were created for our confirmands and guests and some of our leaders and helpers were generated using AI, artificial intelligence. Particularly as a technical person, that's generative AI, right? Yeah, see? I'm glad I got it right. There are a number of ways that generative AI has sort of leapt into the forefront of some of our conversations, and there's a lot of fear around AI. I want you to know that this sermon series is brought to you by generative AI. Not that I'm giving up any of my work, but I want to tell you a little bit about what I did. Now, the first thing when I gained access to ChatGPT, the first thing I asked, of course, was the average airspeed of an unladen swallow. Some of you got that joke. Monty Python, Quest for the Holy Grail, there we go. I'll leave that alone. Then I asked this question. It was a long answer, but I asked this question because generally I wanted to know what ChatGPT thought about this. Compare the United Methodist Church to the Global Methodist Church. Consider recent leadership of United Methodist bishops to practice inclusion of queer members and colleagues, as well as the proposal of the Christmas Covenant from Central Conference United Methodists. And it gave me a 9-paragraph answer that, based on my knowledge of the United Methodist Church, was really good. So then I said this: generate titles and scriptures for a 6-week sermon series that argues the value of staying with the United Methodist Church rather than leaving the denomination. Highlight the value of the connectional system, the historical diversity in theology, and the reminder that unity is not uniformity. I'm not going to read all 6 that it gave me. I'm just going to read the first one, just as an example. It's not because I think this one's more important, just as an example. Sermon series, United in Diversity, the Value of Staying with the United Methodist Church. Week number 1, Embracing Our Connectional Heritage, is the theme. The scripture, 1 Corinthians 12, 12 to 14, that's a part of what we read today. Title, One Body, Many Parts, : The Strength of Connection. That's pretty good, and it gave me 6 weeks of this. Then it said this at the end, note: these sermon titles and scriptures are provided as a starting point and can be adapted or modified to fit the specific needs and context of your sermon series. It's always beneficial to study and interpret the scriptures in light of the intended message and audience. Oh. So I said, this is an excellent start. Thank you. I would prefer shorter and more catchy titles. Certainly, here are shorter and catchy titles for each week of the sermon series. Week 1, One Body, Many Parts. And it gave me the scriptures again. Then I asked it a question. Are these selected scriptures drawn from the Revised Common Lectionary? For any that aren't, can you either expand selections to match the Revised Common Lectionary or select new scriptures from the Revised Common Lectionaries? Apologies for any confusion. The selected scriptures provided earlier were not specifically drawn from the Revised Common Lectionary. However, here are revised selections to align with the RCL. Wow. What would you suggest? I didn't follow its guidance here. What would you suggest is a thematic image that could be used throughout this sermon series? It gave me 4 choices: interconnected network, puzzle pieces, a rainbow, bridges. I instead, inspired by our annual conference, chose not just birds, but starlings. Starlings fly in a formation that is called a murmuration, where it seems as though so many of them are flying in different directions, and it seems as though it's random. And yet they find themselves going in the same direction, celebrating, in my mind, celebrating their uniqueness and their individuality while still working together as a whole. And if that's not the value of the United Methodist Church, I don't know what is. At La Jolla United Methodist Church, there are folks who are here for the first time today. And there are, and there are folks who have been here since the inception of this church, meeting in places that were not this building, and eventually that chapel, and then here in this space. I would suggest that we each have different perspectives on what it means to be a church, what it looks like to do church, what are the best ways to participate in a church, and how to sort of live out your personality and theology and your gifts in a church. I'd invite you to think about it this way. La Jolla United Methodist Church is just like the human body. A body is a unit and has many parts, and all the parts of the body are one body, even though there are many. We're all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Republican or Democrat, or rich or poor, and we all were given one Spirit to drink. Certainly the body isn't one part but many. If the SPRC says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not finance, does that mean I'm not part of the body? If the UMW says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a trustee, does that mean it's not a part of the body? Do you see where I'm going here? Now, we may have folks in the congregation who prefer different hymns or songs, who might prefer to, instead of doing a prayer of confession, maybe we should do a call to worship. Maybe we need to bring the praise band back. And yet, we are all here and connected. We are, as was so ably introduced to me so long ago. Well, really not that long ago. I've only been here 3 years. But about 2.5 years ago, we are a church family. And we all have that member of our family, right? When we get together for Thanksgiving, oh, don't put me next to Uncle Joe again. And maybe there are folks in this church where we say, well, I'm not going to sit next to that person because they don't sing quite on key and I can't sing myself. I hope it's okay that I out you guys on this. I was talking with Bob, and Bob, your brother Bill, is visiting with us today. We talked about how 2 of the 3 siblings have musical ability, and that's pretty good. You don't love your other sibling any less? That's what they told me. You recognize the difference in gifts, and it's the same way here at La Jolla United Methodist Church. We are gathered, some of us doctors, and some of us from the military, and some of us spouses, and some of us, we even love the lawyers among us. Some of us IT folks, and some of us teachers, and some of us administrators, and some of us scientists. Some of us children and youth. We are a church family. We are connected in such a way that when harm befalls one of us, all of us are affected. When joy lands on one of us, all of us might celebrate and experience that joy as well. We are children and youth and parents and grandparents and pastors and leaders. And we are together the United Methodist Church. And as the United Methodist Church, here in a local expression, really we embody that sense of connection here in a hyper-local scale. And this is the idea of the entire structure of the United Methodist Church. The UMC website frames it in this way. It says, the United Methodist leaders often speak of the denomination as the connection. Some people have asked me, why is Pastor Tara the pastor of connection and why is it spelled funny? Number one, it's spelled funny because that's the way John Wesley spelled it. Oh. The United Methodist Church, continuing, the United Methodist Church structure and organization began as a means of accomplishing the mission of spreading holiness. Methodism's founder, John Wesley, recognized the need for an organized system of communication and accountability and developed what he called the Connection, a network of classes, societies, and annual conferences. Today, our denomination continues to be organized in a connectional system which enables us to carry out our mission in unity and in strength. That's from our Book of Discipline, paragraph 701. We are a connectional church, and that makes us stronger and more vibrant and able to take on the changing situations and circumstances in the world. We are a global church family, and I want to tell you a little bit about what that looks like, and I have some slides because I thought ahead. The overall United Methodist Church is governed by a single body known as the General Conference. AD, do we have these? There we go. The General Conference is the primary legislative body, and it's the only entity that speaks for the entire denomination. The only entity that speaks for the entire United Methodist Church. If there's not a global pandemic, they meet every 4 years. The 2020 General Conference has been postponed and is expected to meet next year. In an interesting sort of legalese way, they're not calling it the 2024 General Conference, they're calling it the postponed 2020 General Conference. So that's the sort of top. There's no single person who is the head of the United Methodist Church. We don't have a pope. We have a number of bishops, but no one of them speaks for the United Methodist Church. Only the General Conference, which is a body made up of equal parts clergy and laity. Below the General Conference are sort of two categories that I want to run through with you. First are the jurisdictional conferences, which are five geographic regions in the United States. And they're composed of roughly 8 to 15 annual conferences within each jurisdiction. One of the primary roles for the jurisdiction is to elect bishops. There are some other things that they do, but one of their primary roles is to elect bishops. Now, outside of the United States, rather than having jurisdictions, we have something that's called central conferences. And we have that on our next slide. Central conferences are seven geographic regions on the continent of Africa, the continent of Europe, and in the Philippines, comprised of annual conferences and divided into several episcopal areas. So the Africa Central Conferences include the Africa Central Conference, which has 10 annual conferences, the Congo Central Conference, which has 14 annual conferences, and the West Africa Annual Conference, which has 6 annual conferences. The Europe Central Conferences consist of the Central and Southern Europe Central Conference with 7 annual conferences, the Germany Central Conference with 3 annual conferences, and the Northern Europe and Eurasia Central Conference, which has 10 annual conferences. And then finally, the Philippines Central Conference stands on its own in the Philippines with 14 annual conferences. We might think of the central conferences and the jurisdictional conferences as somewhat parallel bodies, but there are a couple of important distinctions in our Book of Discipline, and I want to highlight those for you. In paragraph 31 of our Book of Discipline, it outlines the powers of a central conference, which is, you know, to promote ministry and interest, to elect bishops, to constitute boards and elect officers. This one's really interesting, to adapt the Book of Discipline. Did you know that the central conferences are not bound to the Book of Discipline in the same way that we are in the United States? Did you know this? I'll read the paragraph to you in a moment. They can appoint a special judicial court. The church has a judicial council, but they can appoint their own judicial court to determine legal questions around their own adaptations of the discipline. And then finally, they can appoint committees on appeals. Let's look at that paragraph 31.5 of the Book of Discipline. The underlining emphasis is mine. To make such rules and regulations for the administration of the work within their boundaries, including such changes and adaptations of the general disciplines as the conditions in the respective areas may require, subject to the powers that have been or shall be vested in the General Conference. And the way this works out in practice is that, and I honestly think this is probably a good thing, that based on regional needs and regional differences, there can be some adaptations to the Book of Discipline. There are no such adaptations allowed within the U.S., which is bound to the entirety of the Book of Discipline, but the central conferences can make those regional adaptations. Why is this important? Remember how I mentioned earlier the Christmas covenant that came out of some of the central conferences? You know what they recommend? That rather than being called central conferences, all of those central conferences be renamed regional conferences, and that the U.S. become a regional conference, so that no matter what region it's in, there might be some flexibility based on culture. That would be an interesting thing. I don't know if that's going to happen, but that's what's coming out of some of our central conference bishops and delegates. We still have work to do. Maybe you recall a situation in a family where you have some work to do on a relationship, or maybe you have some work to do on a celebration for a parent, or maybe you have some work to do to help a family member get through a difficult circumstance. We as the United Methodist Church are a family, and we have work to do, and we're working on it, and I have a lot of hope for the United Methodist Church. Do you know why I have that hope? Because we are a connected, connectional church. Because we understand that there is no one of us who is better than another. There is no one of us who's more capable than another. We must work together in our vibrancy and in our diversity to find the future that God calls and places before us, that God calls us into. And that's the same thing that I find hope in here at La Jolla United Methodist Church, that there is no one of us here in this room on any committee or standing up and preaching, there is no one person who is more important than anyone else in this space or online. There is no one person who's more important. We must do the work before us together, and we can be creative, and we can be energetic, and we can work with one another as family. Why? Because we're connected, because we're family, because we're a people of love. And in this love, and in this way, we can be the La Jolla United Methodist Church in 5 years, in 10 years, in 50 years, in 100 years. And I feel hope alongside all of you, my friends. And so here we stand, La Jolla United Methodist Church, a vibrant church family, connected in love, connected in hope. So let's get to work. Amen.